I'm totally
something.
I was very inspired you're here. I was so convinced that, you know, doing that email class, I don't know how 12 hours a day or however long did you do that, I just thought, I got to facilitate, you know? And then I was aware that you were approaching. I was like, wow, I just have to completely get over any, like, I have too much to do or, you know, I just, it all seemed kind of silly. So thanks for the inspiration.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure. It is funny, because, you know, people ask me about it. And the thing that that remains true for me, because I love email classes. I just love them. And then I get it, I love them. That's for the recording. Then I get into it and it's like, ugh. But I can't wait to see what people say. I just can't wait. I just get so excited, and I think that's where the strength comes from. Because otherwise, not possible.
And
people are seeing some astounding things.
Yeah, that's inspiring.
Having some amazing experiences. So
we inspire one another. We inspire one another to keep.
I just wrote to this one poor woman tonight. I said, are you keeping up with this class at all? It's like, we're in class 5. And there seems to be no comprehension of the fact that we're anything we're talking about. You know, it's like the same thing that was written in class 1. And I just want to... Come on, honey. You know, read a little something. Put a little something into this. You know, there are all these people having these just astounding experiences. Any one that somebody read, you know, you follow one, well, of course, nobody knows who that one person is, but, I mean, you wouldn't have to do too much to run into somebody who would answer all your questions.
That's the brilliance of the structure, being able to see everyone else. I hear people say that a lot. So, wow. Everyone, I'm not alone, you know.
Oh, right. And just the different ways people phrase things and, the content of people's lives, it's pretty extraordinary. It's fun. I like it. it's that... Maybe just a week off, and then we'll pick it up again. It's fun. And especially combined with the Project Joy in the morning. Put those two together. And when I was walking down, I thought, there is nothing more I could say on any subject. I feel quite clear. I've said everything that I could ever.
You know what I've been enjoying about the Project Joy is just listening to the level of practice that's going on. It's like, wow. Like every day, I'm just like, this is amazing what people are doing.
And how many?
Exactly, across the board. Every day. Everybody calls, pretty much. I was just feeling really grateful for that. Kind of fits in. That we're called to be present for the things we've committed to. So I was noticing, I've been a little snippet this afternoon, evening, and it can feel kind of justifiable because I'm really efficient when I'm in a snippet. It feels like, anyway, you know, I'm just doing stuff and I'm going to get this, that kind of thing. But, you know, I'm being talked to in an unkind way.
And so your energy isn't as good as it might be.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of can feel like it because I'm really focused.
Being the right person.
Yeah, being the right person. Get things done. Exactly. I'm sure it's a pleasure to be around. I thought I was gonna facilitate tonight because I would be doing that if you weren't. right here. And it's like, you can't, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to show up in a snippet to, and just, no, that's not, I'm never going to do that. Well, what have you been doing all day? I love you. I love you. And I do this thing where I count on my hands. I'm going to go to 20 no matter what. Mm-hmm. It's just so fun. Because I don't know why, but counting, I really take in each one. And they all have like a little different, you know, now I've been singing them and, you know, whispering them. Yeah, it's just been, and, you know, by 10, and then by 20, I'm like, whee!
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's just good to know that that's possible. And it really is that image again about if egocentric karma conditioning is like a oil in your wash water, you know, you get a little Dawn detergent and it just, I love you, just goes, because it's like, well, nothing's changed in my life. I just said I love you 20 times, and that water is completely clear. Mm-hmm. And I got all kinds of energy, and, you know, just the miraculousness of directing the attention and expanding the awareness. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
Whenever you want to.
Whenever you want to. You know, walk around and it's like, I love you, leaves. I love you, little, you know, vines in the leaves. I love you.
Little things that are hanging down from everything.
Yeah, and I love you, Pat. Oh, that dark, beautiful, you know, dirt right now. Oh, I love you. I love the water. I love that color. You know, it just goes on and on and on. And as you said, it's possible anytime. It's actually, I think you said something about it this morning. That is actually simple and easy. Mm-hmm. It's the remembering to do it that's more of a challenge. But the actual...
Once you're there,
saying I love you to everything that's around me.
Yeah, that you encounter.
That directing the attention, it's not, that's actually not the hard part.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's utterly joyful.
It's utterly joyful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is one of those, gosh, I wonder why it's like this places. But it does seem like the advantage for us is we do have to choose it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the old free will thing again.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to be required. We don't have to be happy.
Yeah.
The choice.
Yeah.
But that I do think is the most completely astounding part of our practice, is that we know how not to suffer.
That is astounding.
It's
a miracle beyond miracles, really.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, and you really just gotta, after a while, you just gotta give up the, but I
don't know. I don't know, it's too hard, like, oh, I can't.
Are you kidding? You know, giant glowing miracle. We know how to do this, you know. It's the same thing I started off with. I'm just gonna get over this, mm-hmm. whatever. You know, I'm too busy, or is this too hard, or what is it?
I am one too.
I know.
I want to be happy.
And what's fun is the more time you spend in happiness, the clearer and clearer that gets. You know,
oh, I do want to that.
Yeah,
I do want to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and to be surrounded by people in the email class or in group or on the project grade. I mean, wow, that really adds. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ramping up. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I was just, I think I said to June today, at some point, what are we going to do next year? And it's always about this time that I think of that. Something will occur. Yeah, I just want to come up with something. That's what's going to happen. But it just doesn't seem possible. I mean, how can we keep going like this? How can we? Because my intuitive sense is that if we continue Project Joy for another year, people wouldn't do it. They get talked out of it. Because I've done that. Mm. Yeah. And wow. Sadly, we need something new and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ending suffering isn't new and exciting enough.
Right.
Well, I'd like to look a little bit at my koan around awareness, attention and awareness. I saw something and have been seeing a lot, and I just want to share it with you. So I was during one of the sits, I was focusing on the space between the box, and what I saw was as I was focusing on the space between the thoughts, there were beliefs and assumptions between thoughts. There were things in the crevices between the things that I was looking between. You know, so it's like, and what just dropped in was, you know, as long as, because there was an eye who was looking, there's always going to be something. I saw these little tiny beliefs, and, I mean, not big beliefs and assumptions, but in these little tiny spaces, and really, really tiny. Oh, Andergan's like, okay, I saw the space between them. And then what dropped in was, just,
it would give it up.
Yeah. And I, that experience of that give it up was something that felt familiar. And when I was reporting later, it came out that, about that, it came out that I have known that process in experiences with music and sports and rocking, crying babies, you know, and just all kinds of things throughout my life, that I had never distinguished that that was, but it was that same sort of feeling of just, and you said to me in the guidance point when I was just like, what? Well, you're so focused, it's like, if there's something, it's not it, it's everything, or nothing. And so it felt like that's what I dropped in, that's what I dropped into, was this, just a letting, really a letting go, but not a someone letting go.
Yes, because that process of, okay, I got the space between the thought, no, there's a belief in there, no, there's a, that's actually not it.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of never hit the space between.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's always something else there, because there's an eye looking, right? Is that sort of?
Yeah, I would guess projecting.
Yeah, projecting.
So it's the, I'm going to look at that, then I'm going to look, see, look at that. Is that the space? Well, that was a belief, was it?
Yeah. And so when it just sort of fell away, and it's like, it felt like a just a nice relaxing sigh of, I remembered a phrase that you used with me when I, two or three years ago when I was looking at attention on awareness, and it was, when you get the hang of it, and then you went on to make a point, but it was that when you get the hang of it, that I found then, that find now so encouraging, because it's something that you can get the hang of.
Well, it's very much a hidden in plain sight.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what we get the hang of.
Yes.
Right. It's.
Yeah.
So. So. In the class, I did a thing, you could probably see it, yeah, probably, but, where I encouraged somebody to hold their, well, let's do it. Have we done the hold your breath?
Oh, let's do it. We haven't done it in a long, long time.
Okay. We've done it before?
Well, we talked about it before. I don't know if we've done it together.
We have never done it now.
Yeah, that's right.
We've never done it now. We've never done it now. Okay, so close your eyes. And I want you to, while I get this hair out of my mouth, I want you to take a breath in, and I want you to hold the breath. Now, don't do it yet. I'm going to give an answer. Okay. So you're going to hold the breath in, and you're going to look at that space between the thoughts. Okay? So that's what you're going to do. So, but we're going to do it together. Okay? So you're going to take a breath in with your eyes closed. Take a breath in. Hold the breath in. And look at what the mind is doing. Okay? Let it happen. Okay? So that's it. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do it a couple more times. Try not to take such a big breath that you hurt yourself, okay? All right, so we're going to take a breath in and hold it in. And I want you to look at your third eye. Okay, keep attention right there between your eyes. They're closed. Okay, here we go. Take a breath in. Okay, let it go. What'd you see?
I heard the bird. It was just the bird.
Okay, so you did not have attention between your eyes.
Well, I did, and then I went to the bird. When it was right there, I just saw kind of a gray nothing.
Anybody else?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing, and then I became aware of the blood pulsing.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah?
I don't know how to describe it, but it seemed something big and empty. Just kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Carolyn.
I have the sensation of looking back into myself.
Aha. Uh-huh. Like your eyes were turned around backwards.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's kind of a blank there.
Yes. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you want to try it again? Mm-hmm. Cameron?
I was going to say there was sort of a scrambling like energy. What?
Kind looking of thing. For something.
Yeah, because that's what we're doing. We're going to have an experience here. And what is it? And that was a very familiar kind of experience that there's something that's going to be happening here, or something I'm supposed to see, and but I didn't.
There's somebody in charge of doing that.
Yeah, and I didn't really say anything. I just felt this sort of scrambling.
Okay, so let's try it again, and really look for that space. Okay. All right. Take the breath in and hold it. Can you keep attention there on it?
Mm-hmm. It feels like it's in my eyes, though. Like I'm really seeing this space.
Relax.
Okay.
And you don't need to really hold your breath in to do it. It's just that combination of holding the breath in and looking like that. It affects the system in such a way that you often have a chance to see the gap before anything can come in there and try to take it over. So the other place that you can do it, and of course this is, you know, true with meditation, but we don't usually do it in this way. So this time, let's take let the breath go and hold it out at the bottom. Could you sense it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a really interesting one, isn't it? Because you're between here and here, mm-hmm. right? And so there's that there's that moment of
It's funny. It gives me sort of a peace with death.
Yes.
To just be there?
Yes.
And it was like, oh, if I didn't have to breathe in again, it would be
nirvana.
Nirvana. Just letting go. And it would be okay.
Mm-hmm. It seems like that, like you just said, the breath in and the closing the eyes, it just stopped. It's like no thoughts can come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you stay there, it'll kick in.
Yeah.
Right? But the ability to watch it kick in is really increased.
Uh-huh. What's the it in that? The spaciousness? Or? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, what kicks in?
Mm-hmm. The mind. Oh, okay.
Yeah, conditioned mind. The, what about trying to fill the space?
Is it something about the holding the breath, which just brings everything to attention? Like,
yes.
Your life's at stake, kind of thing.
Yes, well, and this is with what Sequoia just noticed, the holding the breath in is clinging to life. Mm-hmm. The holding the breath out is letting go into death. So that's the kind of the metaphysical or spiritual or whatever it is, understanding behind it. So, yeah. You know, often when people are frightened or startled, that
so that's a completely different world, and what we're saying is that we could live in that all the time, opening our eyes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that can be really interesting about it. So when you're sitting in meditation, if anywhere. It's just so much easier to see when you're sitting in meditation. So you're there, and something occurs, right? Something fills that space. And then you watch how something follows that. Something follows that. Something follows that. Right? That kind of leapfrogging through conditioned stuff. Mm-hmm. When you're there like that, you can stop it. Right? You don't have to do that. You can just go right back to the space where that wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Y'all love this, don't you?
Yeah. It feels like the way I might describe it is it just feels like it's just life. I mean, it's just like I was practicing with it at SNAC a little while ago, and it was just like this is just it. There's nothing going on. I'm just eating. I'm just seeing the trees. It's like mountains are mountains and rivers are rivers.
Whatever else
was it. And then I could watch, as you were just describing the habits in meditation, I would watch an opinion or a comment about that try to come in, and then I could just sort of, and it would be just, I'm seeing the tree again, or I'm tasting the food again, and so it is. It was just like, this is just life, and so So I don't know. I don't know if there was something that there was an expectation that when you see the space between the thoughts, it's going to be whatever. It just felt very. Normal, but very happy normal. Very
happy.
Happy. But yes, normal. Mm-hmm. But happy. so not normal like drudgery normal.
Drudgery. Suddenly had the same afternoon. So there was a sense of being present to what was there. And the ability to be sensitive to when something came in to try to add itself to what was there.
Yes. And try to direct this observer, whoever was just noticing the trees, that was trying to direct me to it so that I would, do something with it.
Well, and the interesting assumption there is that this is one of those dangerous places again. But the assumption is that I was sitting there aware of those things. Mm-hmm. And then that came in to try to get my attention on it.
Yeah.
Now, we do have to use that language.
Yeah.
But is that really the experience?
It didn't, yeah, it didn't feel like that. I almost did that around me because it did, that's what I meant when I said it just felt like just life. As if I was just like the stool I was sitting on or the table I was, you know, it was so ordinary.
It was extraordinary.
Yes. Yes.
Channeling Bhagavan Sri Rajneesh.
Yeah.
Very fun. I think we're a little bit happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Judy. It's so quiet here, you know, different than other times of my life. So I've been noticing my favorite distractions, internal distractions, because there aren't any external here. And one of my favorites is rehearsing. So, you know, I can catch it and be here, you know, that's fine. What I'm wondering about is this. You know, I've read some things that if you rehearse something, then you're more likely to accomplish it and do it well. You know, like Olympic, that's always an example. So I'm wondering if this is where I get sticky. Do I want to, like when I wake up in the morning, could I rehearse that I go through life? That I go through the day with joyful ease and resting in every step and, you know, have that as a living into it? Or is that manipulative and controlling and different technique kind of?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting one and would probably be interesting to play with.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that the setup in it is that it turns into an expectation.
Uh-huh.
And that's the control manipulation part of it.
Okay.
So if I were just focusing on that, then that wouldn't be terribly different from I choose peace and love or whatever. This is what I'm choosing. That's not the same as I think I should get that because I have visualized it.
Okay.
I think that the probably what people are pointing at is the attitude of mind. Mm-hmm. That in that sort of focus, what's not there is the conditioned conversation.
The intention is so clear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It catches you. But I think awareness practice does that.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure. I think just being here, you know what you choose for your life. You know you want to be here. Mm-hmm. You know you want to be present and live in loving kindness, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. You probably don't need to add anything onto that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I was thinking in terms of what I've read is that it retrains the brain, that if you imagine something, the brain can't tell any difference if you're actually living it or if you're imagining
it. Oh, it can't. Right. Oh, absolutely.
So that's what I wondered if that would kind of jumpstart me into this happy life.
Yeah.
You know, just,
well,
it is like choosing, just like you said.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And so from that perspective, yes. That, I mean, that is what you're doing. You are choosing to have your attention where you want it to be. If you're not focusing on that, you're focusing on something else. And we tend to know what that is for most of us anyway. Uh-huh. We're guessing you're like us. So that's the whole thing of my obsession with getting people out of the conversation and conditioned mind and into a different conversation. The importance of that is if you're not in the conversation you choose, you're in that other one.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, people have this idea that, well, but I'm gonna change and I'm gonna be in this other conversation, and isn't that just adding? No, it's replacing something,
mm-hmm.
which is essentially what you're looking at with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I could watch my mind go to this negative place, or I could choose to focus my attention on what I choose instead.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
So you wake up in the morning with the class, more project or everybody. You know, you hear people waking up into a state,
mm-hmm.
And then it just goes downhill from there, because, and so to stop at that point, and either through recording or listening, which of course I think is best because it's verbal. Mm-hmm. That's the power of it. And if we can learn to focus attention on the verbalization of what we choose, then we're adding an element to what goes on in conditioned mind. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, that's verbal, too. It's just that we're not as tuned into what's actually going on there. Just the way Rebecca was kind of laying it out. There's this, but then there's all this other stuff, too. And maybe I'm aware of that, maybe I'm not aware of that. Mm-hmm. But if I can train myself to listen to the sound of my voice talking to me about what is so for me, mm-hmm. I think that goes a lot more down the road of removing that habitual conversation mm-hmm. in conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm. Part of what that brings up is that on the radio show this morning, there was a training talk about staying with your emotion, you know, if there's grief, to stay with it. And I'm always, I've had a lot of training in stay with your feelings. So I'm not sure when to stay with my feelings or when to redirect. Is it my hunch is that if there's any kind of storyline.
Exactly.
Okay.
So Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, yeah. You know, famously said 20 seconds for a true emotion. Uh-huh. And it's probably the length of time it takes a sensation to pass through the body.
Even something like grief?
I mean, with something like grief, at least in my experience, yes, exactly that. And after about 20 seconds, it's a story. Uh-huh. And so much of what people think of as grieving is just living in that story. Uh-huh. But when we're actually present to what's going on, you know, you lose somebody you love. And there's whatever comes in and makes you aware of that. And then there's all of the feeling that arises with that, the pain, the sadness, the whatever it is, which are all labels, by the way.
Right, and as soon as you label it, you're in a story, is that right?
Well, you're headed in that direction.
Okay.
Because without a story, why do you need to have a label? Mm-hmm. That's the really interesting part of that. So what would it be like to lose somebody you love and just experience what you experience without needing to call it this or that or compare it to that or how is this and all of that sort of thing?
Just be with the raw sensation and watch it.
Yeah. So. Hmm. Because it's so easy to fall into the story and to think that that's the emotion.
Uh-huh. So when's the turning point? Is it when I hear something in my head about it?
Well, see, for me, the most interesting thing is that it's also terribly interesting. And so, you have that experience and see what that's like, and then you have that experience and see what that's like, and you know, what happens if you turn your attention at that juncture? And what happens if you stay with it longer? What happens if you...
Okay. So there's not an answer. It's just being...
Awareness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
With all of it, I mean, with the, you know, you spend a month getting up, waking up every morning and setting an intention and picturing yourself going through, see what happens.
Uh-huh.
The danger is believing stuff. That's where we get tripped up. We don't just have an experience, we start believing stuff about it.
And giving it meaning.
And putting that with that and that with that. And then it's good if you do that because that felt really good. Uh-huh. And so that, well, maybe the fact that it felt good, maybe I'm clinging, so I probably shouldn't. And then it's just, oh. And instead of what we're really going for is just now. Mm-hmm. So what do we know about
nothing?
And what do we need to know? Nothing. You know, what's going to help us? Then we're fine. Now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's kind of radical.
terribly Zen.
I had lots of Zen training before I came here, and it was, hang, you know, be with your emotion, and, you know, if you feel shameful, be, that just made it
awful.
That's
not Zen. That's psychology.
Well, yeah, I could, yeah.
That's not Zen.
Yeah.
I mean, to have a direct experience of what you're having, but I would really want somebody to explain to me, what do you mean, be with your feelings? Mm-hmm. Talk me through that. Talk me through you being with your feelings. And I bet you we get to a story in a big, big way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my mother. Mm-hmm. It's always the mother. Any problem, it's the mother.
Mm-hmm. If it's not one thing, it's your mother.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
As you were talking, and at the moment when you said something about the label, I could see that labeling, and the same thing would be making a story, is a process of establishing me as separate from something else.
Oh, beautifully said.
Yeah, so a lot of what we're doing is, in all of the things we're talking about here, is that. Here I am, and there it is. Here
and
I am.
And the important thing about that, who gives a flying fig about that? Here I am.
That's what I mean. It is almost everything we do is establishing the I, the me.
Well, yes, literally.
Yeah.
If we had laser things going, we would see. And there, and there, and there, and there. There. Everything comes back to me.
Yeah.
I like that. I don't like that. That's important. That's not. Well, I'm not sure about that. I feel like I.
Yeah. Just in the way that insight just came in such an experiential way, I really got a sense of what we're up against. I mean, that is so deep rooted that there is.
Well. I don't know how deep rooted is it. You just saw it.
Well, yeah, I did. I saw it, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it right now. Maybe just in sharing this, but
we made a leap there.
Did we?
Mm-hmm. So you had the insight. So you saw that, and now it becomes something that you're not supposed to do.
Well, I thought it was maybe an example of, I don't know, because I didn't feel like that's what I was doing, so never mind what I said, because that was just, I went into something, you're right, probably.
Yeah,
whatever.
So well, I would project it's ego arguing for its place.
Yeah.
So you've just had this insight about how it works, and ego goes, well, yeah, but you're still going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big mistake.
Yeah.
You know, but again, this is not self-improvement.
Right.
Right? All we're doing is being aware.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you had that insight.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, application is not what we're doing.
Right.
You know, how do I compile this great knowledge that I can then impose upon life and have control over it.
Yeah, the insight was it.
Yes.
And
it's an inciting.
Yeah.
Right? And what you experienced in that was the point.
Was the
Whee!
It was kind of the lack of that process.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And it was How cool is that?
Yeah.
How cool is what? I don't know, it's gone.
Because it was actually an experience. It wasn't a, you know, a conceptualization.
Yes.
It was like I was there in that establishment of the me.
Yes.
Labeling something. Yeah.
Yes. And what you were was the awareness.
The awareness.
Was aware of that.
Oh, yeah, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it wants to pull you back into being the I was going to be in relationship with something uh-huh. through, well, yeah, but you're not going to be able to live
for that. Right. Yeah. It's all very fun.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's so much more fun than suffering.
It really is.
I don't know why it doesn't catch on.
I know. I was just, yesterday I spent the whole day driving, it could have been kind of a slog, you know, it's a lot of time to be sitting in traffic and sit. But it was just, I was just having a good time. I was just like being in life. Mm-hmm. And the grass was all green everywhere, and the cows were grazing in it, and there just wasn't, it was just fun just to be alive and be,
yes.
But you know, there, I could imagine that wouldn't necessarily have been that experience sitting in, you know, sitting in that car all those hours. But it was.
Well, right. If you were making that trip with ego.
Yes, exactly.
It wouldn't be, because right. there would be all that wrong with the traffic, and all
yes.
that wrong with sitting, and all that wrong with
yes.
boring, and all that wrong with.
Yes.
But because you weren't doing that,
right.
that's not the experience you were having. You were experiencing being alive.
And being alive and just enjoying being alive and taking in what I was seeing. And, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wasn't really tired after that either.
No.
So.
We're not.
Yeah. No.
No. Being present is the cure for fatigue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's invigorating.
I can't wait to get home and do another batch. I can't wait to get home and do another batch.
Responses.
Sorry.
I didn't make a leap there. I'm still driving and I'm a batch of what? Yeah.
I have to edit you over.
I dragged my editor through all of this too, you know, it's not just me. Yeah, but that's it. And of course that experience that you're having is what we're promised if we will just do what ego tells us to do.
Oh my gosh, what a
never,
sham, huh?
Yeah, which is never ever going to result in.
Never ever. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I wrote in one of my responses, that what a... The process, I can't even remember what it was, but it was that. The process was something that was never, ever, ever going to work to do anything but suffering. Mm-hmm. Not the content, but just doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another one of those insights, like, wow. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Who
well,
wants to do that?
It is. So much of it is crazy as
yeah.
soon as we see it. It's the tricky part. What was it? There was just a piece quote about that, wasn't there? Something about realization of the difficulty is, what was it? It was just in the last few days. Not a piece quote, it was Project Joy quote.
Oh.
Anyway. It was like that. Exactly like that.
I can kind of get a sense from what you had to say.
I noticed that often in group there's like I can feel a tension, you know, like an identification with something to prove or something to, you know, be and do and like that. And as we were doing the exercise, I felt it fall away. I think when you said relax, there was a relaxation. That was amazing.
If I had known you were that suggestible, I would have said a long time ago, in suffering.
All right.
Done.
What next? And I think I'm catching on to how to relax. Mm. And it's around burning away karma and noticing what's going on in that process. So there are these experiences of doing something where there's that reaction of, I've got to change this, I've got to make it stop, I've got to make it different. And I notice that as I'm doing the thing, it triggers a particular type of conversation, a particular process in conditioned mind, which is the composing process, composing some sort of communication in a very reasonable, measured tone about how this should be different, and perhaps a sensible recommendation. So there's this, what triggers it is that ego terror of facing no control. And then that starts. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen that as a dissatisfaction conversation, composing this composed communication about something, and it's a fear process, and I've never seen it as a fear process.
Mm-hmm. And so as long as it's calm and rational, kind of keeps this from ever, because intuitively you sense that screaming hysterically would not be the approach, right? Right. So that's what keeps that ego terror in check.
Yes.
We'll take care of this.
Yeah, okay, so what, and I'll communicate, and then, but it can get quite irritated and angry, but it's not terror. But what I realized was that that's, those go together. Mm-hmm. And so I've been practicing dropping that, coming back here, and just, seeing the feet on the floor, what can I see, what can I hear, what can I taste? Sometimes with a reminder that the conversation doesn't care about the con, it doesn't care. Okay, back, I love you. Sky, I love you, do you love me? Back and back. And I've forgotten where I was going now, I was getting into my getting
here. You were here. Yeah.
I just got too into getting here. I'm going to have to leave now to tell you what the important thing I was going to say.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. So, so I've just been practicing with being, as I recognize that very familiar thing going on that's felt so, magnetic and compulsive and overtaking the attention, I've been experiencing like a silence or just a being in the complete controllessness of everything in this moment. And what I'm noticing is that that conversation has kept in place this whole experience and orientation to life, this separate self experience of telling life what I think should happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And very reasonably, calmly,
sensibly, intelligently. Mm-hmm. It's a well-researched.
Yes. Oh, yes. And not demanding.
No.
Just a recommendation.
But if you don't do it, I might die.
And it'll be on you.
There's this terror roiling, and then this, and so what I am experiencing is an orientation of thy will be done, an orientation of like looking back and seeing that separate selfing about, telling life what I think should happen, and instead just being and.
Just noticing that, not needing to do anything about it, right? I mean, it's not like you have to fix that.
Yeah.
That's just a process that goes on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And isn't it a fascinating? I don't know if it's an irony or what the heck it is, but it's fascinating that moving into that experience of accepting the absolute lack of control.
Yeah.
Is the most control we can have.
Because we're choosing our experience? Yeah. And that's what's so relaxing.
It's the closest to control we have. Because yes. we're saying yes to whatever.
Yes.
So you can't do anything to the person who's saying yes to everything.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought of that. Sure. That's what I want.
Yeah.
That was on my agenda.
And it's wonderful because it would have never been on
that agenda.
Mm-hmm. And so it requires the way of transformation, mm-hmm. not to seek out what's going to help you have a comfortable life. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And again, the wonderful realization that in that, saying yes, in letting all that go, in stepping into the moment, but without any control whatsoever, mm-hmm. you have everything you always wanted. Yeah. Absolute freedom, absolute peace, complete relaxation, happiness. Because yeah. there's nothing fighting anything. There's no...
Yeah. That there's a we have one of the quote cards that sometimes comes around in the tea cabinets. Stop fighting. You are the only thing standing between you and peace. Mm-hmm. And I've often said that to myself. You know, mm-hmm. stop fighting. You're the only one standing between.
Yeah. You. And with that kind of distance that you're describing, you can see that it's true.
Yes.
You can yeah. see that system. And that's the reason that we want quickly to get to, it does not care about what it's talking about. Mm-mm. It does not. Mm-hmm. Because if it did, if it really wanted peace, it would stop fighting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the fact that it doesn't is all the proof we need that what it really wants is the fight.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's still happening, that thing, every day. It's...
Oh yeah. Sadly, the fact that we say, mm.
I'm on to you.
I'm breaking up with you.
I know. I had an experience yesterday though of experiencing silence, where I was, I was able to turn attention to the silence that was there underneath the conversation, and then be aware of the conversation and back to the silence, and like that, I could see how it was like. The image I had was just conversations like a kind of encasing over the human, so that attention only goes out that far, mm-hmm. and not like all the way to the silence. That's outside of it. Mm-hmm. So it's like that.
Well, and what's interesting about your physical movement there is that the silence was here. Mm-hmm. The conversation, the mm-hmm. you know, all yeah. of that was here.
Yes.
And underneath it is the silence. And it does seem to be the case that we're trying to get as far away from this as we possibly can.
Yeah, that's the experience of dropping the conversation sometimes. It's like dropping the conversation and experiencing a place where the conversation is already dropped.
Yes. Yeah. Or even possibly
where it never was. Mm-hmm. And then there can be the conversation about dropping the conversation. Mm-hmm. But there's like a training, like recognizing the difference.
Yes. It's back to the space between thoughts, right? Exactly. I mean, at first, this seems really mysterious or difficult or whatever it is. And then you have that little sense of it. Okay, now we're going back to that. Mm-hmm. There's that silence where none of this exists.
Yeah.
We feel that. We experience that. Now we know where we're heading.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just want to express my deep gratitude for the email class. It's been one of the most profound experiences in practice, where I'm really getting the sense that
for the first time, that I am adequate to practice the way I experience the monastery. That the support is so strong. I mean, everything that's being offered, mm-hmm. there was always this conditioned belief that, yeah, but you're not at the monastery. But now my experience is as I am. Mm-hmm. I will be going through my day and I will picture myself walking on the grounds. I will picture myself sitting in the hall because I'm, instead of being at a place that brings the feeling, the feeling is bringing the place. It's
connection is strong.
It's very strong. And I'm just so grateful for the way that my sense is that whatever energy I put out, I'm met with equal energy. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that thing of if you put an intention, life meets you. Mm-hmm. That's the sense with practice. I mean, practice mirrors life in that way. I get constant reinforcement that I am adequate to this. Mm-hmm. That there isn't anything that if I have the willingness that I can't participate in, yes. or be responsible for.
Yeah. I love that. And I don't know if this is just far enough to the side that it won't really resonate, but it's one of the things I like best about doing an email class. Because, I mean, there are people in that class who clearly, I don't even know how they found us, right? I mean, they have not read a book, so you know, but they're there. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who've been practicing for decades, right? And everybody can be practicing together. Mm-hmm. Because whatever anybody is doing, that's what they're doing. And as you say, that's where practice meets them. And I think it's such a thrill for everybody to be with everybody, wherever anybody is. And that's what makes that, I don't know, there must be a word for it, but it's so much more powerful than what any of us could ever hope for on our own.
Yeah.
And it just seems like we keep being called to more and better. Not that there's any such thing, if there isn't. But if there were, that's what we're being called to. More courageous, more willing, more participatory, more engaged.
Yeah. There was an invitation. The response to my first email was an invitation. Too. And I actually saw, it's like I pictured myself rolling up my sleeves and
here we go.
And because I felt like everybody was on my side. Mm-hmm. Everybody was cheering. It was like we're all in this together. And I can't do it wrong.
Exactly. God, I get that.
Yeah, whatever I do, is I'm going to learn something from it. And
I was just reading something. If I can remember, I'll try to get it and do something with it. but it was a passage from Dogen where he was talking about what it's like when you know for sure. It's not his language, but it's what he was saying. Trust me to interpret Dogen for you. That what happens to us when we know we're on the path, which is what you're describing. You know, it's no longer, oh, I hope I am, or what if I'm not, or I could make a mistake, or once you know you're on the path, then there's a trust and a relaxation, because you can't make a mistake. And you know that. I mean, you never could. But now you know it, and it just changes everything.
I'll find that passage. Although you said it just as well as Joe.
Well, I just want to say, I know you say often that you say the same thing over and over again, but I have never heard going to the place where there never was a conversation before tonight. Mm. And it just felt like it's so different than drop the conversation for me. Because mm-hmm. then I'm fixated on, I've been fixated on dropping that conversation, but to just
so, and,
go.
And the more you try to drop it, the
yeah,
more
it's
there,
just,
right?
It's just a misery.
Don't think about peanut butter.
I know. But to instead go to the place where there never was a conversation, mm-hmm. it's just like, ha, ah, yes, okay.
Well, and clearly you know that place.
I know that place. Yeah. So
you wouldn't be this excited. I'm moving on.
Yeah, because I sure know the place of trying to do something over and over again and being unsuccessful, you know, that, God, I can't do it. But, you know, to just go to that place of drop. Anyway, so I just really, really appreciate
it. You've got a lot tonight. You're going yeah. to a place where there's no, never was a conversation. You're made peace with death. This has been a big room for you.
I have been, anyway, the whole system has been gunning for me big time lately. I mean, I've just been, you know, so I feel like there's just,
ready
for some kind of breakthrough. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm grateful for those gifts tonight. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to check out something about walking meditation that's just a practical, although there's a whole process under this that I recognize about a lot of things. But so we'll just start there. But I wanted to check out how we take steps in walking meditation. There's something I believe I remember I learned from you, and I would like to check it out and see if it's accurate.
Okay.
Is that
okay? Sure.
Okay. can I just demonstrate?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So I thought I learned that what we want to do is a step and slide the next foot up and step and slide the next foot up and step and slide the next foot up and step. And what we don't want to do is take a step and then stand here for a while and then take a step and stand here for a while and then
doing the crane
and taking a step and standing here for a while, but just slide.
Yes, perhaps a little slower.
I know, I don't want to fall over on you.
Well, I think that's why people do the crane.
Yeah, so I just wanted
for balance.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and I remember that movie we saw on Dogen mm-hmm. when they were doing walking meditation. That's what they looked like they were doing to me. That kind of sliding.
And technically, this is where I learned anyway, to bring your heel up even with the
That is in the orientation text that Levine.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
That we use, yeah.
Oh, good.
So up to your
Okay.
And then
because that way you know, sort of anybody's feet can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's not that somebody takes one of these steps and then do the there's somebody else and trying to.
I find that if I'm just doing the sliding, I can't do one of those big. I can't. I can't, or I topple. Mm-hmm. So that. And the other thing was when the bell rings and we start to do the fast walking meditation, that we just start with walking. And then
you
just
take off at a dead
time. Just start walking, and then you slowly
build up speed.
We're not So anyway, I just wanted to...
Bell rings.
And there are too many people in the hall and everything. You run right back into the person in front.
Anyway, so thank you for putting that.
And that it's not like Olympic running speed that we're going for. Like, sometimes we get a bit...
Like, get really
well, these little legs, I feel like people are doing, doing the best. Mm-hmm. But it's brisk,
yeah,
but brisk, not jogging.
But not jogging. Yeah. Yeah, we need a larger hall, really, for good jogging. You know, I think there are a few things in practice, like walking meditation, to just bring it all right to the right. You get behind somebody.
Well, then, if you're into control, you have to take your toilet break, so you come back and change your position.
Oh, because you can't stand it any longer. No, you didn't have to go to the bathroom. You just wanted to get out of line so that you could get a better person.
Steve's revealing the. I haven't actually ever done that before. But that's where the karma goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that since one time.
In our head, yeah. Strategizing to get out to make it all right again. So.
And it's just a recommendation.
Just a recommendation. So it's something you could try the next time you come on. Get home. And then here, through the door, you talk
to it. See, and what bad karma is, there they are, right there.
Yeah, this is what much of my experience is like in here, honestly. I mean, internally.
Mm-hmm. You mean in here?
In mm-hmm. Yeah, in the karma.
Oh, that's funny. Is there anybody who has no idea what she's talking about?
No.
You all may perhaps have had a similar thought?
Yes.
I've never thought of leaving go to the bathroom to come back and get behind somebody.
But it's a great idea, isn't it? Yeah. So you wish you had thought of it, right?
Wow, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've got impatience. So at the other place, we got up at 4:20 to sit, and we sat for 40 minutes, and then we had walking for 10 minutes. I used to go back to my room and have 5 cookies, and then come back and sit for the next 40 minutes. Wow. Every day.
Where'd you get the cookies?
We were allowed to have, we were allowed to have stashes in our room. I always had, I don't need to go on.
Leaders of...
This is a silent retreat. A 3-month silent retreat.
Wow, 5 cookies a day.
Oh, no. Many more 5 cookies a day. 5 cookies at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Practice.
It was, yeah, well, I got it here.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So, yes, I know the experience that we're talking about.
June.
I don't remember where we were, but there was a labyrinth, and we were only treating. It wasn't you could go to the labyrinth if you wanted to. And there were about several of us out there. And there was one person that everybody eventually jammed up behind. And I just stepped up the edge and went the other way. It's just one of those things. And I remember to this day, and I don't remember who it was, in either of these, but doing get in and here. And when the instructions are, maintain the space between you and the person in front of you. And boy, this person was not doing that. We all jammed up behind. Mm-hmm. And
you just stepped up.
I couldn't there. Mm-hmm. I couldn't.
But desperately wanted to.
Well, it just, boy, I was just... God, what kind of unconscious fool are you? That routine that I know so well. Yeah. But I remember it, you know, Dan Kenny had many, many times. I remember that one. I remember that laugh.
And that's the rest of it.
Because there were two people who were controlling me. They were controlling everybody. And worked completely unconscious. And I guess that just pushes somebody.
I hope they've let it practice. And you know, you just gotta love it, right? I mean, we're doing walking meditation, and you think that the fate of humanity is resting on. It has always been that way. I mean, when we do walking meditation on a retreat, I mean, it's half the people. That's what they're dealing with in guidance. And that's good, because, you know, it probably doesn't just happen there. Uh-huh. I mean, we get to see that kind of
road rage
in the hall.
Can I just say something about that group? This is so much fun, isn't it? You know, and it occurred to me as you were talking about, I wonder what we're going to do next year. As we were going through group, this image kept coming up of what we're doing here. It's like we all just get together. You're the team captain, right? You're kind of gathering us all together, and we just get to play these things all the time in all these different ways, and email classes and radio shows and group and all of this stuff. And it is just so much fun to get to do that. And so that's what, you know, it's like what Carolyn was saying about is, you know, the support at the monastery, the support at home, the support of a radio show. It's just everywhere. And it, I don't know, I'm just taken with how much fun it is to get to practice together. And that what's going to happen, like I was like, well, I wonder what's going to happen next quarter of the game, you know, because it's just us playing in whatever way.
Well, and the thing that, when you say that I find so really remarkable, now this is my experience, I don't know if this is other people's experience, but we do this with very little ego. You know, there's almost nothing in this practice that supports ego.
Yes.
How can it be that much fun when there's nothing for ego in it?
Yeah.
And yet it is.
Yes.
I think that's truly remarkable. And I do. I mean, again, you know, I don't know this, but I think this is what the Buddha was talking about.
Wouldn't you say that's why it is fun? Because there's nothing
I think it's remarkable that there's such conditioning that if you're going to have fun, mm-hmm. there's going to be something in it for ego. Mm-hmm. And in this practice, there isn't. There's nothing. You're not getting anywhere. Nobody's special. Nothing. You know, nothing. We're just all doing the best we can to be present and look at how everything works mm-hmm. and have a good time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the Buddha was teaching. I mean, people get so hung up on suffering that it's easy to forget that what the Buddha taught is ending suffering. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, you suffer and stay there. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that we're laughing at ego. You know, like just what we were talking about, going to the bathroom or wanting to honk at the person in front of you and walking meditation. You know, it's like, that's just so we can,
you're not taking it personally.
Exactly. Right.
It doesn't have anything to do with you.
We get to
laugh. Why feel bad about it? Why take it on?
Yeah.
It is very clever.
Yeah.
And everybody else is going to try that the next time you're with a really unconscious fool in the